In our area, I know a lot of people are familiar with the name of Mateagan McClelland and Great Barrington, have been around as a business for a long, 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 long time. And I think there's a portion of the, of what they do there that people don't understand, that it's not only retail and high-quality retail, but there's other services. And as we talk with Tim Luke and Greg Strom on our appraisal show, they always say they run into problem with people when they inherit things that have no idea, and instead of checking with people that can better inform them and help them out before they go to an auction or where they would like to get rid of something, they go out on their own, and that's a big mistake. And one of the things which I found out recently about Mateagan McClelland is their estate jewelry services and how they can help you. And with us right now, we do have Walter Mateagan. Walter, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You know, it's a whole aspect of jewelry that I think people tend to overlook, and that is when families, people in families buy jewelry and accumulate jewelry and items of interest like that, that when they pass on, they don't always pass on the information about what it is, where it is, where they got it, and the value of it. How do you step in there? I mean, first of all, a little bit of background so people understand. How did you get involved in the jewelry business?
Well, I was born into it. I'm a fourth generation diamond and gemstone merchant. My great-grandfather started a business in 1895 in New York, and their first customer was Tiffany & Company, and they made jewelry for Tiffany for close to 100 years. Tiffany ended up buying the company in 1990, and Tim and I formed McTeague & McClelland a few years after that. But when I joined my father, he spent most of his time buying and selling diamonds and gemstones, which are a big component of what makes up the value of estate jewelry. So that was my first exposure. And then I was hired at Harry Winston in New York on Fifth Avenue to become the estate jewelry buyer. And there I had a tremendous amount of exposure every day to all kinds of wonderful diamond and gemstone pieces and pieces made by some of the best jewelers in the world.
It sounds to me like you have had an educational experience with the best of the best. One of those things that just happens with being in the right place at the right time.
That's right. Yeah, that was it was like a PhD in gemstones and estate jewelry. It was really quite an experience.
Absolutely amazing.
Baptism by fire, by nature of the number of pieces that I was looking at and the amount of activity that we were in the middle of there.
You know, it's also interesting how, is it true that you met Tim in an elevator?
That's right. We had seen each other in there was a big dealer that we both had done business with. And I had seen him in this guy's office a number of times. And one time, he looked like an outsider, and I was a sort of an outsider in the jewelry business. There's not a lot of mix in the business in New York. And we happened to get on the elevator at the same time and struck up a conversation and became fast friends. And have been friends, amazingly, even through the partnership, which is often a surefire recipe for ending a friendship. Our friendship continues and grows.
It's amazing, and your reputation. I think that's what people don't realize, that when people think of Mateagan McClelland, the reputation that is there is like when you think about Harney Real Estate, when you see the service to the community and to the public as a whole, as well as the specialized community, you build that only over years of experience.
That's right. My dad said that told me that you're inheriting a good reputation and you really have to take care of it. And hand it down to the next generation.
So now let's talk about that. Let's talk about handing down. And one of the services really that's important to people is that if they've got old jewelry, if they come upon old jewelry from family or whatever, a visit to you would be really helpful in explaining to them what they have.
That's true. It's actually very satisfying because so often people have these pieces that can sometimes add up to quite a bit of value, and their inertia of not doing anything, not knowing who to take it to or what to do with it or how much it's worth or whether they want to sell it, it often just doesn't get dealt with. And when people do come and bring their jewelry and we sit with them and go through it and evaluate it and answer questions, oftentimes there's a huge sense of relief when people understand what they actually have and they're in a much better position to make decisions about what to do with it, whether it's selling it or repurposing it or distributing it among family members, whether they want to get an insurance appraisal so that they can wear it and enjoy it, or whatever they might end up doing. Having understanding what the options are and understanding what they have is really the first part of it, and we love doing it. There's a lot of beautiful pieces that were made in those days that we get a lot of inspiration from, and oftentimes we are the place that they decide to sell it, and so we have a wonderful source of new pieces coming into our hands that we're able to turn around and offer to our clientele. And that's part of what we do here. Is in addition to making jewelry, we have a very beautiful curated collection of vintage jewelry, and it's all essentially handmade, unique, one-of-a-kind pieces from throughout the mostly 19th and 20th century.
Now, I'll interject here. We're speaking once again with Walter Matiga of Matiga McClellan. And what's interesting about, first of all, one step back, is that the service you offer to people for initial consultation to take a look at what they have, there is no charge for that.
That's right. We're happy to have people come, and usually by appointment, that's always recommended, come and bring their pieces, and we will sit with them and go through it piece by piece. And tell them what we know about it, what we understand about it, what the value might be if they want to sell it, what the values, what kind of gemstones and how old the piece is. Sometimes you mentioned before that most people are handed down pieces and don't have any information. Oftentimes, there's a story, and it's often just that, a kind of a story that gets exaggerated a little bit. Sometimes, over the years.
It's like the fish story. The fish gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Exactly. So some people think that they have a piece that was handed down from royalty and is extremely special, and sometimes it's not. And other times people have... We had a woman who came in who had a 3-carat diamond ring in a bowl on the mantle of her fireplace for years, and she didn't think it was real. And one day she decided, but she hesitated, putting it into the church bazaar. And one day she brought it in and walked out with quite a big check. So there's surprises on both sides. And often it's one thing I have discovered is very interesting. Sometimes when you tell somebody that their piece is only going to fetch a certain amount of money that they thought it may have been worth more, they often are relieved because then they feel like they actually can wear it and enjoy it and not feel intimidated that the value is such that they should keep it locked away. A lot of times when people inherit jewelry, they inherit a whole sense of responsibility and are entrusted with sort of possibly, you know, handing down to the next generation, and often the next generation has no interest in it. And one thing that we advise people is to, if they have jewelry that the next generation is not interested in, don't leave it in your safe box, because it's really a big responsibility to the next generation to then go through the process of having it evaluated and liquidated, and then distributing the proceeds among the family members. It's a task that most people feel is a thankless job, but often that's one that we help people through with the process. We're very thorough in that regard, and there's no time pressure. If somebody comes in, we understand that they might have to discuss with five or six family members how they're going to distribute the pieces before they're able to make a decision. And so we are kind of holding their hand through that process.
All right. And in the final minute or two, I think what I want to retouch on is that how you take, we always talk about repurposing and recycling in this society, and we do it with houses, we do it with wood, we do it with even right. school buildings. You take old jewelry when it's no longer wanted, and you get it, and you repurpose it into something that is just as valuable, but it is something that is different. I think that's what's the artistry, what you do, which some people might not know.
It's one of the things that we do that we find enormously satisfying is to give new life to old pieces. The pieces are not in good enough condition to resell, and they can't be restored into that condition. So they're taken apart, and the components are then refined, and the, you know, the gold, platinum is refined back to its pure form, and then realloyed to be used in new pieces. And the gemstones or diamonds are repolished and restored to good condition. And because of the availability of stones 100 years ago, we're getting different kinds of stones and different kinds of vintage cuts that are not commercially available on the market today. So it gives us a very unique source of material to work with. And there's a lot of inspiration that we get from the way that the old pieces were made. And oftentimes, because we're taking something apart and deconstructing it, we're really learning a lot about how the process of how it was made originally, and it's a constant source of new ideas for us. We don't really copy old pieces, but it's hard to not learn from them and get ideas and be inspired by them.
Well, once again, if people want more information, they can contact you either by going there at 454 Main Street in Great Barrington, or calling the 800 number is 800-956-2826. Your store hours, what hours are you open in Great Barrington?
We're open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
All right. And that's, like I said, right there on Main Street, 454 Main Street in Great Barrington. Walter, thanks for taking... Oh, by the way, and on the web, if you want to go to their website...
That's right.
That is, and let's see if I get this right, mc2jewels.com?
That's correct.
Okay, yeah. mc2jewels.com on the web. Walter, once again, thanks for taking a few minutes and joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.